You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from August 21st, 1995.
My guest is Patrick Combs. He put some junk mail he got into his first Interstate account, and they credited his account with $90-some-odd thousand, $95,000 plus, and he still got it. He's got it locked up in a box, in a check, in a cashier's check. And we were just discussing, Patrick, you, certainly your attitude, I think, is commendable, that you want to do the right thing. But I've got to be honest with you, if I had the money and I began to see that I might have a legal right to it, I'd think long and hard. And I'll tell you what it would depend on, and see if you're in agreement with this.
Okay.
If the people at the bank were cool and nice and friendly and decent people and they were nice to you, then my inclination might be to give it back. But if they were really nasty...
You got it.
And really just coming at me, you know, head on...
You got it.
Then, I don't know, I might get my back up a little bit. That's about what's happening?
You got it. You put your finger on it. I put it in these words. I put it like this. You know, they would have the money back already if when they first called me, they were nice, friendly, and that's where this whole, you know, take me to lunch thing came from, because I almost imagined that they would. I thought 12 years at their bank, you know, they will, when they find out that they legally lost money, they're going to get a VP to call me and treat me really nice and then, you know, and thank me for not spending the money right away. Now, I refuse to give that check back under circumstances where I'm being intimidated, where they're trying to make me give it back out of fear. Because
I mean, you could have gone down and at least gotten yourself a brand new 100 megahertz Pentium or something like that.
I would love a brand new color power book, you know, or a brand new Mustang. Exactly.
Yeah,
there,
sure.
I have a million things I would love to do with that money. It does take responsibility to just sit it in a safety deposit box and even one in their own bank. It just takes, I did not want to lose money that might not be mine. And I am clear as a bell that the money, that I have an absolute legal claim to the money. But I'm clearer on the fact that if I allow my life to be ruled by fear and intimidation, mm-hmm. whether it's my fears or somebody else trying to intimidate me, my life will get boring, my life will get unadventurous, and I will feel worse about myself. And that's where this kicked in. You know, on the day where, oh, you're not going to deal with this, I'm referring to the bank, deciding not to deal with this in a legal, upright fashion where we talk human being the human being, but to try and cover for their mistake by intimidating me and by putting the fear of bejesus into me.
Yeah, you don't happen to know who the teller was, do you? I don't want a name, but I mean, have you had any discussions with the bank about the fate of the teller?
let me tell you this. I worry that a teller will lose their job over this because the bank made a mistake and people realize that. But everybody think about this. The tellers get paid $5 an hour, and they're part-time trained. You know, if they make mistakes, it's because they're not being trained the right way. But I view it differently when a VP makes a customer service mistake, because VPs are paid a lot of money, and they're supposed to have excellent social skills and customer service skills. If I wouldn't want anybody to lose their job over it, but if someone had to reevaluate the way they were treating their customers or doing their banking business, I would hope that it would be somebody high up in the company.
Sure. All right. Mike in Portland says the fraud occurred when he punched the numbers into the machine with his card and PIN number and then manually entered the check amount into the machine. How do you respond to that?
Mike is wrong, because fraud is based on intention. If I can punch numbers into a bank. Let's say, if I walk up to my ATM machine and I literally have a Monopoly $500 bill and I punch 500 into it and then I slide that orange dollar bill into the ATM, I'm not attempting fraud, because the opposing party would have an enormously difficult time convincing a judge that I actually thought that I could get, I was actually trying to get the bank to give me money.
They would have a better case, wouldn't they, had you signed the back of the check. Then,
yeah, absolutely.
Then it would show more intent.
Yeah.
But this,
they would have a better case, too, if I'd tried to erase the words non-negotiable in the corner of the check.
But they were still clearly printed.
Oh, of course. No, I'm just saying, you know,
and again,
if
you say the word
altered or signed or something, then yeah. It would have shown that I was trying to get their money, but I wasn't trying to get their money. They'd also have a better case, too, if I had spent the money, because that would show that I was trying to get their money.
So, again, getting back to what you want at this point, you just want a bank vice president, at least, to come to you in a nice, polite way, maybe take you out to lunch, say, look, we want to get this settled. We don't want any hard feelings. We're going to reopen your account for you. Give us our money back.
No, see, the more I think about it, the more I think, you know, I've got to stop saying, you know, what I want the bank to do, because this is all about the way I want to live my life. And I don't want to live my life allowing anybody to rule me by fear or intimidation. So I'm just going to do what I have to do to not be ruled by fear and intimidation. And if the bank comes on in any way like that, then I'm going to stand my ground. And I am fully, I'm going to stand my ground. And if the bank doesn't, if that fear and intimidation factor goes by, then you're going to see me give a check back.
All right, let's take a couple of calls, see what people have to say about this. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Patrick Combs. Where are you, please?
Columbia, South Carolina, WZOC.
Yes, sir.
Hate to burst your bubble. The bank has its money back.
It does?
Yes. Here is a simple fact that a lot of Americans don't seem to understand. Cashier's checks can be voided by the issuer. And if he went to this bank,
mm-hmm,
and bought the cashier's check, and it's their cashier's check, they have a record of the number of the cashier's check,
mm-hmm,
and they know what it is. They're trying to get a hold of the piece of paper that's in the safety deposit box is just a loose end.
All right, that was
the caller is incorrect.
Yeah, that's correct.
He's correct in the fact that the issuing bank can void a cashier's check. He's incorrect about what it takes for them to void a cashier's check. Let me put it two different ways to you. Number one, if the caller goes to Brady's on Bank Checks and looks up what it takes for a bank to cancel a cashier's check, he'll see that that the majority of courts rule that even if a bank has a good defense, it cannot cancel its own cashier's check unless the court tells it it can. Any cancellation before that results in my having the right for a civil suit. The second way I'll tell you that the caller is wrong is if he calls the author of Brady's on Bank Checks, the definitive book on banking law that First Interstate Bank told me they use themselves, the author told me if they cancel your cashier's check, you get a lawyer because you have a civil suit.
Well, it looks like to me First Interstate is tangled with the wrong person here. I mean, some nice old lady maybe who was just joking around would have just given it back, but you sound a little sharp for them, and I think they've got a big headache on their hands. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Patrick Combs. Hello.
Hey, Art. Is that Peter?
No, Patrick.
Patrick, I'm sorry.
Where are you,
anyway,
sir?
This is Owen from Princeton, Minnesota.
Okay.
And I want to tell Patrick that he should fight for this money till the end, because it sounds like he's got three different legal claims to it. You know, I'd have a lot more fun with $95,000 max than a lot of other people. You know, if he wants a good time, fight this thing, get a good lawyer, because,
All right, let's try this approach. Patrick, suppose you did as he said, even because you're angry at the treatment they're giving you, and you fought this right down to the bitter end, and you won. In other words, there it is, the final decision, the money actually is yours. Besides changing all of America's junk mail forevermore, would you at that point, when they said the money is yours, then would you give it back?
No, sir. At that point, I would give it all to charity.
Charity?
Mm-hmm.
No 100 megahertz Pentium laptop?
No, I'll tell you why.
Sports car, nothing?
I'll tell you why. I would be so proud of the fact that I stood up for myself against a massive institution And I believe, as the Indians used to believe, that gifts have to stay in motion. The minute they stop, that they become property. And they, you know, and you've changed the fundamentals.